B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Peiches. We're going to start approximately a third of the way down from the Omud. V'chein shtei gezuz terois zu v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Peizayin Omud Beis, the last statement in the Mishnah. V'chein shtei gezuz terois zu l'mayla mizu. If you have two balconies, let's call them, protruding from a building, and they want to, this balcony is protruding above water, and the people in these balconies need drinking water, they want to draw water from the river, from the sea. The river or the sea is a karmelis. The balconies and their homes are Rishus HaYochid. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos from a karmelis into Rishus HaYochid, at least midrabbonon. And so the Chachomim said that there's going to be a special kula for drawing water, and that is that you can make a hole in the balcony, and having a hole is not enough. We have to actually make partitions around this hole. That means the hole has got to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Partitions serving less than that size are not considered partitions. And around that hole, either on above the hole or below the hole, you make partitions of 10 tefachim. And then we use the idea of good achis mechitzta, that virtually speaking, we view that these partitions as being extended right down to the sea. And then it's the water that you're drawing is considered as if you've drawn it from Rishus HaYochid, and you can take water from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaYochid. The question is, if you have two balconies, and the two neighbors have not made an Eruv together, and we've already learned previously that when you have two people, two different Yechidim, each an entity of their own, that are sharing a single area, that one's not allowed to carry from that area to either of their own independent areas. And the question is, what do we do in this case when they are both using, or they both want to draw water from this, from through this hole? So the Mishnah said, V'chein shtei gezuz terois zu l'mayla mizu. One was higher than the other. And exactly how high they can be and whether there's a difference as to how high they are, that's a machlekes that we've seen previously. The Gemara is not going to discuss that now. Then also le'elyoino, if they made these partitions in the hole made in the upper balcony, v'lo also le'tachtoino, and they did not make the mechitzos, this partition for the hole in the lower balcony, shtein asurois, then neither of these neighbors are allowed to draw water from either of the holes, ad she'arvu, unless they make an Eruv together. And once they make an Eruv, they're considered a single entity. You think a single entity, you can then draw water and carry it to each other's homes. Says the Gemara, V'chein shtei gezuz terois zu v'chulu. Omar v'hun omar Rav, lo yishonu elo bismucha. Rav said this is only true when the two balconies are close to each other, and we're not talking about close in height, we're talking about close horizontally, how close they are next to each other. So Rav says that we're assuming that it is only true if there isn't 4 tefachim or more between the two balconies. Abel b'mufleges, if the distance between the two is more than 4 tefachim, elyoino muteres, then the upper balcony is allowed to draw water from its own, from the hole in the upper balcony, obviously providing that they've made these partitions, they can draw water from there. And the Gemara explains, V'rav l'tamei, this is Rav following his own opinion that we've already seen, D'omar Rav, ein odom oiser al chaveiroi derech avir, that if somebody is using or sharing a different property together with somebody else, and one of the people sharing that property can only use that property via airspace of 4 tefachim, then that person does not restrict the other person from using that area. This person himself cannot, once the other person can use the Eruv, can use that area, this person can't. So in our case, if the hole is in the upper balcony, and the partition is in the upper balcony, and the person in the lower balcony wants to use the water, so if he's within 4 tefachim, then the answer is he can't use that water on Shabbos, because he's sharing the area of the hole together with the neighbor of the upper balcony. They haven't got an Eruv. However, if the lower balcony is 4 tefachim away, then the fact that he can theoretically use that hole by throwing his bucket, his pail, up onto the balcony and then lowering the pail through the hole, since he's more than 4 tefachim away, then we consider that as being as ein odom oisal chaver derech avir, since the lower balcony can only use the hole in the upper balcony via the airspace of Fort Fochim, it does not restrict the upper balcony. And once the upper balcony is allowed to use it, the lower balcony is not allowed to use it because they do not have an eruv. Omar Rava Omar Bchia, Verav Yosef Omar Boishia, Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos V'Churva Marzir Lebailim. And this is a quote that was said in the name of Rabbi Chia or the name of Rabbi Ishia, that what happens if you have Reuven owns a home. Adjacent to his home, he's got Shimon's Churva, a ruined, a dilapidated building belonging to Shimon. Shimon doesn't use it very much, it's a dilapidated building. Reuven, being a neighbor to it, uses it more. Even though it doesn't belong to him, he's the one that uses it. The question is, do we say that if Reuven uses it, he uses it to the extent that he's considered the exclusive user of that ruin, and since he is also the owner of his home next to it, one can carry from the ruin to his home on Shabbos? Or do we say no? Since this ruin doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Shimon, the fact that you're using it doesn't make it yours, and then since it's a different Rishus, Reuven cannot carry from the Churva into his own home on Shabbos because he's not made an Eruv. If he makes an Eruv with the owner of the Churva, they become one Rishus to an Eruv, then obviously he can carry there. But if not, then not. That's the discussion. So the quote here seems to say, Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos. Gezel means to steal. And we know that somebody who steals, on a certain level, he has responsibility and ownership over the item that he's stolen. Obviously regarding his requirement to return it and his requirement to look after it, etc. That means that in different areas in Halacha, the item that's been stolen is considered as if it's under the ownership of the thief. So Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos seems to say that using this Churva, even though it's not yours, and therefore there's some comparison on some levels, virtually, so to speak, as Gezel, but Yesh Gezel, it's as if that you're using the Churva, it worked for you, it's as if you've stolen it, it's yours, and you do not need an Eruv. The Churva marzer lebailim, and this Churva, it's not yours, Reuven, and you have to give it back to Shimon. Shimon is the owner of the Churva. And there seems to be a contradiction here. Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos seems to tell us that Reuven can use it without making an Eruv. The Churva marzer lebailim seems to say that even though you're using it, it's not yours, and you've got to return it, so to speak, to Shimon. That means Shimon, even now on Shabbos, is considered as a shared owner, and you're not allowed to use it without an Eruv. And the Gemara is going to ask that. Ha'guf akashya. Omras, first you say, Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos, Alma Kanya. The words Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos seem to say that Reuven is the exclusive user of this Churva, and therefore he does not need an Eruv to be able to use it on Shabbos. V'churva marzer lebailim, and the words V'churva marzer lebailim seems to say that the Churva at least also belongs to Shimon, its real owner, and you can only use it if you make an Eruv. Alma loikanya, Reuven is not the exclusive owner, so to speak, in Eruv terms of this Churva. Answers the Gemara Hachi Ka'omar. Yesh din gezel b'Shabbos. When it says Yesh gezel b'Shabbos, it doesn't mean that you've succeeded in taking over ownership by using the Churva, and therefore you don't need an Eruv. No, it means that the halachas of gezel apply. And what are the halachas of gezel? That when you steal something, you have to give it back. And so Yesh din gezel b'Shabbos, keitzad, what is the din gezel on Shabbos? The Churva marzel b'aylim, that the real owner is Shimon, and the fact that you're using it doesn't make it yours, and even though you do it during the week, on Shabbos, since you're not the only owner of the Churva, you actually have to make an Eruv with Shimon before you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rabba Umoisvinon Ashmaitin. From this that we just learned now, that Reuven's not allowed to use the Churva on Shabbos without making an Eruv, it seems that we can have an issue with it from our Mishnah. What did we see in our Mishnah? You have these two balconies. Shimon, one balcony is higher than the other, and the upper balcony is using the hole. And the lower balcony also wants to use the hole. The halacha is that if they are close enough to each other, that they are both osur. Says the Gemara, V'i omras din gezel b'Shabbos. if you say there's din gezel b'shabbos, which means as follows, which means that if Reuven, even though he's using the churva, it doesn't mean that he's the exclusive person who's using it, and really the churva belongs to Shimon, and Reuven has nothing, has no ownership in it, then so to speak, if Shimon were there, Shimon would be allowed to use the churva without making an eruv. So to hear, my asurais, the fact that the upper balcony, he's the owner of this hole, and he's using it. The fact that Reuven is also using it, who gave Reuven permission to use it? Reuven, the lower balcony, let's say his name is Reuven, the same Reuven we mentioned before, the fact that Reuven is also using that hole, what we just said now, that din gezel b'shabbos, and you have no ownership on the hole that's not yours, like you have no ownership on the churva that's not yours. So why should he be restricting the Shimon who lives in the upper balcony? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Sheishas, Hocha b'mayoskinon, kigoyin she'osu mechitza b'shutfas. There's a fundamental difference between the story with the churva and the story with the hole. In the story in the hole, they both made these partitions together. So Reuven and Shimon are proper partners in the hole. And therefore, in the event that Reuven is close enough to Shimon, it's not derech avir, then Reuven restricts Shimon. However, in the case of the churva, they don't have any shutfas there. And in that case, Reuven has no ownership on the churva. Asks the Gemara, Iachi, if it's true that Reuven and Shimon have got a partnership in the partitions made around the hole in the upper balcony, Ihachi ki also letachtoina nami. Then even if Reuven in the lower balcony also made a partition, why is he not restricting Shimon from using his hole in his balcony? Because we saw in the Mishnah that v'chein shtei gzuz terei zu lemayla mizu osu le'elyoina v'loy osu letachtoina. It seems in the Mishnah that if they both made partitions, then they would not restrict each other. If you say that Reuven joined Shimon in the upper balcony with making his partitions round his hole, then why should the fact that the Reuven made his own partition in the hole in his balcony, then why should that not restrict his Shimon from using his? Because Reuven and Shimon both have a shared use in the upper balcony. Says the Gemara, no. Kiven de osu letachtoino, gluye daito de ano bahadoch loy nichli. It's true that we explain the Mishnah that Reuven has a partnership in the partitions around the hole in Shimon's balcony. However, the fact that Reuven made partitions in his own balcony, he's making a clear statement that as far as Shabbos is concerned, I'm not interested in having any share in the hole in your balcony. And since he's separated himself from Shimon's hole and from Shimon's balcony by virtue of the fact that he made partitions around the hole in his own balcony, therefore Shimon is not restricted to use the hole in his balcony. Only if Reuven didn't make the partitions around his balcony and Reuven is sharing the partitions in Shimon's balcony, only then do we say that Reuven restricts Shimon because they haven't made an Eruv. And again, according to Rav, this is providing that Reuven is within four tvachim. If Reuven is too far away, then, as we said before, sharing use with somebody else, but you can only share it by going over avir, over airspace, according to Rav, does not restrict Shimon. And therefore, if Reuven is too far away, then Shimon will be allowed to use the hole in his balcony. Says the next Mishnah. Chotzer she'ipchuso me'arba amis. If you have a chotzer, and the chotzer is not big enough, what's called a chotzer that is big enough? Arba amis. And it's going to be apparent in the Gemara, this is four amis by four amis. A square of four amis by four amis, if it has to be exactly square or not, is going to be a discussion. And because the Mishnah doesn't say arba amis al arba amis, it just says p'chusa. Just says this chotzer is lacking. It doesn't say lacking of 4x4, but it does say 4 amis. So it definitely means a chotzer of at least 16 square amis. There's no discussion about that. Whether the 16 square amis have to be 4x4 or not is going to be a discussion in the Gemara. So if the chotzer is less than 16 square amis, then ein shoifchin betoicho mayim b'shabbos. If you have balconies or homes coming into the chotzer, and typically a person would use sosayim, two saw of water, to wash himself and to rinse himself on Shabbos. then you're not allowed to pour the water into the chotzer if the chotzer is not 16 square amos large. Elohim kin osuloi uko marzeke sosaim min hanekev ulamato. However, if you dug into this chotzer an uka, which is a hole that can hold sosaim of water, and this uka, which is made to contain the water, a type of a drainage system, and sosaim, that's as deep as the hole is. And since a person typically would only use sosaim of water a day, then if you pour that amount of water through into this uka, or if you pour it into the chotzer and it drains down into the uka, then it will stay there for a day. By the end of the day, it will be absorbed into the ground, and the next day there'll be space for another two sa of water. And above the level of sosaim in this hole, there's actually a hole for the water to flow out into the Rishus HaRabim for the overflow. So it's providing that below this hole, that means without needing to resort to the overflow exit, you have space for the two saw that you need of water every day, then you're allowed to pour into the chotzer even if it's small. But if the chotzer is big enough, if it's 16 square amos, even without the uka, you can pour water there. Bein mi bachutz, bein mi bifnim. There's no difference if this uka is in the chotzer or if it's just outside the chotzer in the Rishus HaRabim, adjacent to the walls of the chotzer. That's also okay, because then you can pour the water from the chotzer into the hole, even though the hole is the uka is in the Rishus HaRabim. But the uka, as we're soon going to see, the uka is a mokim ptur. The dimensions of the uka are such that they are less than 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, and they are at least 3 tvachim deep. Dug down, as we know that if it's less than 3 tvachim, it's lovud, it's considered still a Rishus HaRabim. So if it has the dimensions of a mokim ptur, you can pour from the chotzer into this uka, which is a mokim ptur. Elo shemi bachutz tzorich likmer. If you make this hole in outside the chotzer, then and we're going to be afraid that some pebbles and earth is going to make the distance, the height of this uka, less than 3 tvachim, and then it will revert back to the status of Rishus HaRabim, and pouring water from the chotzer into Rishus HaRabim is seriously asa. So we have to make sure that there's no chance of the space within this uka from getting blocked up, and therefore you have to make a komor, you have to cover this hole. That's one of the explanations. There are a number of other explanations why the Mishnah says that if you make this uka outside in the Rishus HaRabim, it needs to be covered over. Obviously, there's going to be little holes in this cover, so you can pour water into this uka. Mibifnim ein tzorach likmer. Obviously, if this uka, if this hole, if this drain, the place where the water is going to drain into is in the chotzer, you don't need it to be covered. That was the first halacha in the Mishnah. We have to remember that the first halacha in the Mishnah is talking about a chotzer, that if the chotzer is large enough, it's 16 square amos, you can pour water there on Shabbos, and if the chotzer is not 16 amos, then square amos, then you can only pour water there if there is an uka. And we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what lying behind these halachas. And now halacha number 2 in the Mishnah. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, biv, which is a drainage pipe, shehu komor, which is covered, arba amos b'Rishus HaRabim, which means at the end of the chotzer, you've got a hole with a drainage pipe, and out, it's going out into the Rishus HaRabim, and the first 4 amos of this pipe in the Rishus HaRabim is covered. If it's covered, it does not have the status of the Rishus HaRabim. So Beleza ben Yaakov says, Shevchin netoicha imayim b'Shabbos, you can pour water from in the chotzer straight into this drainage pipe, even though it's headed to Rishus HaRabim, and you're not allowed to pour from Rishus HaYochid, the chotzer, into Rishus HaRabim. But over here, since you're not pouring it into the Rishus HaRabim, you're pouring it into this drainage pipe, and this drainage pipe is obviously going to be contained within it. Okay, we'll leave that now. For now, as long as it's 4 amos into the Rishus HaRabim is covered over, is not Rishus HaRabim, and the Mefarshim all say here that it must be it's 4 by 4. The width of this drainage pipe is 4 amos, and the length in the Rishus HaRabim that is covered is also 4 amos. So you have 16 square amos under this roofing of this covered over drainage pipe. You can pour water into it on Shabbos. The Chachomim argue the Beleza ben Yaakov, and this is point number 3 in the Mishnah, that the halacha, the opinion of the Chachomim, is afilu gag oichotzer meo amo. Even if you have a roof or a chotzer, which is 100 amos long, and you've got a type of a drainage system, a gutter system, that is, the water is running off the chotzer or away from the roof, and it's going into this biv, which is 100 amos wide long. Lo yishboich al pi habiv, you're not allowed to pour into the entrance of this drainage pipe. Aval shoifichu legag, since pouring into this biv, into this drainage pipe, it's so to speak considered as if you're pouring it towards the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara will explain why. But if you're allowed to pour it onto the roof or onto the chotzer, aval shoifichu legag, you can pour it onto the roof. V'amayim yeridim lebiv, the water is not going to collect on the roof, it's going to flow down into this drainage, and therefore you've indirectly, the water is going into this drainage pipe and then into the Rishus HaRabim indirectly, that you're allowed to do. But you're not allowed to pour water straight into this drainage pipe on Shabbos, even though it's 100 amos long. And another halacha says the Mishnah, Hachotzer v'achsadro mitztarfim le'arba amos. We saw before, if you have a chotzer of 16 square amos, you do not need this ukah, you do not need this hole to allow you to pour water in there. So the Mishnah says, if you have part of the 16 square amos is the chotzer, and part of it is the porch, then it's tariff, and since together is 16 square amos, you do not need an ukah to allow you to pour water there. Another halacha, v'chein shtei diutois zu keneged zu. If you have two balconies, two upper levels, and they are both sharing the same chotzer, and miktsasan osu ukah, miktsasan osu ukah, and one of them made an ukah in the chotzer, and the other one did not make an ukah in the chotzer, es she'osu ukah, the one that made the ukah, this hole in the chotzer, mutarin, he can pour water down from his balcony into the chotzer, and it will flow into the ukah. Es she'loyosu ukah, but the one that did not make an ukah, asurin are not allowed to pour water there on Shabbos, and we're going to see the details of this in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, my tam, we saw at the beginning in case number one in the Mishnah, when you're talking about a chotzer, which is, then the Mishnah said, if it's less than 16 square amos, you're only allowed to pour water there if you have an ukah to contain the water, to collect the water. If it's 16 square amos, you do not need an ukah. The question is, why? Says the Gemara, Omar Rabba, mipnei she'odom osui lehistapik sosayim mayim b'cholyim. Every person uses, or a person uses, two saw of water every day. Barbo amis, if it's 16 square amis, odom reitzel is alfam. And it's not only 16 square amis, if this chotzer is not only 16 square amis, but it's a significant shape, which means at least 4 amis by 4 amis, a square of 4 amis, then a person would want to use this chotzer for significant uses, and having a chotzer that's very dusty will stop him from using it that way. So if the chotzer is 4 amis by 4 amis, he'll want to keep the dust on the ground, so it shouldn't get dusty everywhere. So he would sprinkle water, that's how they used to keep the balconies, the chatzeris, they used to keep them clean. They used to sprinkle water over the chotzer, and then the dust would settle. So if the chotzer is big enough, then pouring out 2 saw of water is exactly what you would use to sprinkle on the dust. The dust should stay settled, and therefore you have no intentions whatsoever, or no preference that the water should actually go out into the Rishus HaRabim. So even if I don't have an ukah, I'm focusing on sprinkling water in my chotzer. If it goes out, that wasn't my intention, I have no interest or need for that, and we're not worried about that. Since he's not putting it straight from the chotzer into the Rishus HaRabim, he's sprinkling it in his chotzer. The fact that it's going to go out, it's okay, because he's okay for the water to stay in the chotzer. Pochis midalet. However, Sheifchon, if it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, then, or even if it's 16, we're going to see, even if it's 16 square amos, but the dimensions are not 4 by 4 amos square, then a person would have no intentions of using such a type of chotzer for anything significant. And when he's pouring water out, he clearly wants the water to leave the chotzer. He doesn't want the chotzer to stay muddy and murky with the water. And since he's got intentions for it to go out, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, and therefore you can only pour water there if you have an ukah to collect this water. Ida ovid ukah shari, yiloi, osur. It's It's only mutter if you have an ukka to collect the water. Rabbi Zeira Omar. Rabbi Zeira said a different logic to Rabbah. He said, Dalad Amos, if you have a chotzer of 16 square amos, taimi, then pouring two saw, which is the amount of water a person would use during a day, pouring that in the chotzer, taimi, which means that the water will get absorbed and will not have to leave the chotzer. That means by the time the water reaches the edges of the chotzer and flow out into a shosarabim, taimi, it will already have ended, there will be no more water, it will be fully absorbed. Pochis midalad amis. If the chotzer is less than 16 square amis, loy taimi, then the earth is not going to absorb that water, or certainly not quick enough, and therefore it's as if we can assume that he knows that it's going out into the shosarabim, and since it's assumed that his intention is that it should go out into the shosarabim, you're not allowed to do that. That was the machlekes Rabbah and Rabbi Zeira. The difference being, my benayu, Omar Abaye, orich v'kotin. If you have a long and narrow chotzer, which is 16 square amos, for example, if it's 8 amos by 2 amos, ikabinayu, that's the difference between them. According to Rabbi Zeira, as long as it's 16 square amos, the water will be absorbed. And then I don't need an ukka if they're 16 square amos. According to Rabbah, it's not enough that the water's going to be absorbed. It has to be they have intentions for it to stay in the chotzer, to sprinkle the chotzer. And I only sprinkle the chotzer if it's a square of 4 amis by 4 amis. A chotzer with an awkward shape of 8 by 2, he's not going to use it, he doesn't need to sprinkle it, and therefore, since he doesn't want it or doesn't have intentions to use it as sprinkling, then the water's going to flow out of the chotzer, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Says the Gemara Tanan, we learnt in stage 4 in our Mishnah, Chotzer v'achsadra mitzdarfin l'dalad amis. If you have a chotzer, and you have on the corner of the chotzer, you have a porch, and that porch is 6 square amis, and the chotzer is 10 square amis, then they're mitzdarf with each other. And you don't need the ukka. Ask the Gemara Bishleim le Reb Zeira, according to Reb Zeira Nicha, I can understand, because Reb Zeira says the main thing is you have 16 square amis. Here you have 16 square amis, it doesn't matter that the shape is awkward and you have a chotzer here and in the corner you have a porch, it doesn't bother us. Elo le Rabbah, according to Rabbah that says that the only time you're allowed to pour this water without an ukka is if it's a square of 4x4, kasha, then how can the Mishnah say that the achsadra is mitzdarif, is merged with the chotzer? It's not the right shape. Answers the Gemara, Tirgum Rab Zeira, Libud Rabbah. Rab Zeira himself, he explained how Rabbah would understand the Mishnah. Ba'achsadra ma'leches al pnei kol ha'chotzer kula. We're talking about the chotzer is 2 amis by 4 amis, and the achsadra is also 2 amis by 4 amis. So the achsadra is shaped such that together with the chotzer, you've got a square of 4 amis by 4 amis, and again, it's enough that you do not need an ukka to be able to pour water there. Continues the Gemara, Toshima. Chotzer she'ein bo dalad amis al dalad amis. And here it says explicitly, dalad amis al dalad amis. Any chotz which is not a square of 4 amis, ein she'evchin atoicha mayim b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to pour water into this chotzer on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Bishleim le Rabbah, according to Rabbah, Nicha, I can understand why it has to be 4 amis by 4 amis, because less than that, you don't sprinkle water there, and you're not allowed to pour the water there on Shabbos. Elo le Reb Zeira, according to Reb Zeira, who says that the main point is that you have 16 square amis in order to absorb the water. Why does the Braisa say I need 4 amis by 4 amis? It's enough as long as it's 16 amis. I don't need it to be exactly 4x4. Kashya. Answers the Gemara. Omelachar Abzeira. Abzeira will explain it to you as follows. Homani Rabbononi. That Abzeira says it's true that I, Abzeira, explained halacha number 1 in the Mishnah that the reason that the chotzer has to be 4 amos, according to Reb Zeira, is in order to absorb the water. But let's go back into the Mishnah. We had number 2 and number 3. What was halacha number 2? Halacha number 2 is, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, that a biv, which is a drainage pipe, which shall come or 4 amos, which is covered 4 amos, then you're allowed to pour into it, and even though it's going out into a shosarabim, you're allowed to pour into it. Now this biv, this drainage pipe is clearly not used to sprinkle water there. You don't sprinkle water there. So even though it's 4 amis, and let's assume it's 4x4, but the dimensions are enough, but since you do not sprinkle water there, why are you allowed to pour water into this biv? So it must be, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov understands that the only condition you need to be able to pour water is that it's four amis, which means that the water could absorb itself into the ground before reaching the Rishus HaRabim. And 16 square amis is sufficient for that. So it's clear that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Mishnah understood that it's enough if it can absorb water. Let's take the next case, case number three, or opinion number three. According to the Chachomim say that even if you have a gutter with, or this drainage of 100 amis, you're not allowed to pour into it. Well, if you have 100 amis, it's clearly enough that the water could be absorbed. Why are you not allowed to pour into it? It must be that the Chachomim hold, like Rabbah said, that you're only allowed to pour water directly into something that's got an exit into the Rishus HaRabim, only if you would use it to sprinkle, the ziluf, to sprinkle, to let the dust settle. Since in this pipe, nobody would sprinkle, therefore you're not allowed to pour directly into this pipe. So it's the two ideas that we had, Ubzeira and Rabbah, seem to be a machlekas in the Mishnah. Elazar ben Yaakov clearly says that, clearly seems to hold that what you need, the area in the chotzer, the 16 square amis, is in order to absorb the water. And according to the Chachomim, it's the 16 square amis is the area that you need to sprinkle water, and therefore you're allowed to pour the water there. And the drainage pipe, you're not allowed to pour because you never sprinkle there. So now the Gemara is saying that means the Machlokes of Zera and Rabbah was just in the first case in the Mishnah, which there's no name. There was no name in the Mishnah. It was the first case. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachomim are arguing with the drainage pipe in the Chotzer. It was just a Mishnah that said that the halach in the Chotzer is that he has to have 16 square amis, and it was machlekas. According to Rabbah, it was because 16 square amis, you would spread the water there, sprinkle the water there to keep it in the chotzer to settle the dust. According to Reb Zera, it would be 16 square amis is enough to absorb the water. So now we asked a question that we had this brisa that says it needs to be dalad al dalad amis, 4x4. 4x4 we can only understand according to Rabbah, not according to Reb Zera. Reb Zera is going to answer you that Braisa is following the Chachomim in our Mishnah. And the Chachomim we just explained, who said that a gutter, this pipe, even of 100 amis, you're not allowed to pour there. Why? They obviously hold it's not enough that the water would be absorbed. You obviously need to have an area that's significant enough that you would do ziluf, and you would sprinkle. And since you don't sprinkle in a pipe, you're not allowed to pour into this pipe. And so when it comes to a chotzer, that the Chachomim would hold that you need 4 amis by 4 amis, a square, because only then it's significant enough to do ziluf. Omel Chorab Zera, Homani, this price is following the Rabbonon. Umas Nisin, and case number 1 of the Chotzer in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Reb Zera says, I'm explaining the first case in the Mishnah to follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The first case in the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and we saw that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's a nut that says that if this drain, which you don't do ziluf in, but providing it 16 square amos, you're allowed to pour water there, must hold that the main condition you need to be able to pour water is that it can absorb. Asks the Gemara, if you, Reb Zera, you understand that the Machlokes of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Chachomim is exactly in this discussion, whether it's in order to, the 16 square amis is to absorb the water, or the 4 amis by 4 amis is in order to that is significant enough that we assume you're doing ziluf. If you understood that there was a Machlokes Tanoim like that, why, you Reb Zera, are you explaining Chotzer to follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Why didn't you explain the Chotzer like Rabbah did, like the Chachomim, that the reason you need 16 square amis is because of ziluf? Answers the Gemara, Omar Rava, Rava said, I'll explain it to you. Masnisin kashaisa, because it's apparent from the terms used in the Mishnah, in the case of Chotzer, it seems that within the words of the Mishnah, it's more likely to be following Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's logic than the Chachomim. Why? My area de toni chotzer shi pchusa. Why does it say a chotzer which is pchusa? We mentioned this diuk when we learned the Mishnah. It just says the chotzer is lacking. It's not big enough. Why doesn't it just say, listen, a chotzer she'ein bo dalad amis al dalad amis, like the Braisa? Why doesn't the Mishnah say a chotzer that doesn't have 4 amis by 4 amis? It just says it's lacking. So it seems from the word, from that term in the Mishnah, that the main thing is that you have an overall area of 16 square amis. If it's lacking, then then you're not allowed to pour water there without an ukkah. So the fact that you just need 16 square amma seems to be that the main reason that if you have 16 square amma, you're allowed to pour there is in order that because the 16 square amma would absorb that water, and that was the logic of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Elulav shma minot Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov he shma minot. Asks the Gemara, V'hamidah sefer Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, since the next case is not the real sefer, but since case number two in the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, when it starts speaking about the pipe, it seems that only from number two, case number two in the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but the Tanakhama is not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Asks the Gemara, V'hamidah sefer, since case number two in the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, can we not assume that Reisha lav Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Answers the Gemara, no. Kula Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the first case of Chotzer, and the second case talking about the biv, the drainage pipe, are both Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. V'chisurim mechzer v'ochiktoni. Kula Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, hi v'chisurim mechzer v'ochiktoni. This is how you have to read into the Mishnah, so it should flow a little bit easier. Chotzer, which is case number one in the Mishnah, she'i p'chusa, which is lacking 16 square amos. Midalad amos is lacking 4 amos, but really it means 16 square amos. Ein shofchin l'toicha mayim b'shabbos. You're not allowed to pour water in it on Shabbos. Ha dalad amos. However, if it is got 16 square amos, shofchin, you're allowed to pour water into it. Why? She'er Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov oimer. Because Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov holds that biv, this drainage pipe, Hakomor, which is covered over Dalad Amois, the Rosh Hosharabim, it's 4x4. 16 square Amois in the Rosh Hosharabim, Sheifchin Etoichim, Mayim B'Shabbos, you're allowed to pour water into it on Shabbos. And you clearly, nobody does Ziluf in a drainage pipe. So it must be that the only reservation is that you have, the only condition is that you have 16 square Amois to absorb the water. And since we see clearly Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it's sufficient, so too in a Chotzer, as long as you have 16 square Amois, it's sufficient, you don't need 4 amis by 4 amis. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Oimer, Biv, Hakomor, etc. That we saw that in number 2 and number 3 in the Mishnah was actually Machleikas, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and the Chachomim. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if you have this drainage pipe going out of the Chatzar, as long as it's 4 amis, and we just explained now, as long as it's 16 square amis, you can pour water into it, since we assume that the water would be absorbed before it gets to the Rosh Hosharabim. We have no reason to view it as if the person is intentionally throwing water through this biv into the Rosh Hosharabim, because the water would get absorbed even before it reaches the Rosh Hosharabim, and therefore it's mutter. The Chachomim say no, even if you have a roof with a pipe to collect the water, which is then going to go out into Rosh Hosharabim, which is 100 amos long, and this 100 amos is clearly enough to absorb 2 saw of water, and nonetheless the Chachom say it's osir. You're only allowed to pour onto the roof, and then indirectly it'll flow into this pipe and out, but directly onto the pipe is osir. Says the Gemara, Masnisin, these Chachomim in the Mishnah, which are more stringent than Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Deleike Chananya, they do not hold of Chananya. That means Chananya is even more stringent than the Chachomim. The Tanya, Chananya Oimer, afilu gag meo amo lo yishboich. You're not even allowed to pour the water onto the roof that is then going to flow into this pipe and out into the Rosh Hosharabim. Even that is osa. If ishein agag osu livloya, because since the roof is not something which typically absorbs the water, and therefore pouring onto the roof, it's almost as if you're saying that you're pouring it into the gutter. And therefore, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Elo lekaleach, it's pouring it on the roof is almost explicitly an activity of lekaleach, of drawing the water into the pipe, and you're not allowed to pour the water into the pipe. And on that front, it's the same as the Chachomim say, you're not allowed to pour the water into the pipe. But they say it doesn't help to pour it on the roof because the roof itself does not absorb. According to Chananya, The only times you're allowed to pour water is into a chotzer, where the chotzer itself absorbs water, and then you're allowed to, but you're never allowed to pour water onto the roof. Continues the Gemara. Tana, we learnt in a brisa, Bamed Dvorim Amurim, when is it true what it says in the Mishnah? That a chotzer that's not 16 square amis, you're not allowed to pour water into it unless there's an ukkah. The whole part of the Mishnah talking about a chotzer is only referring to the the b'moyis hachama to the summer days, the days that it's not rainy. Aval b'moyis hagashomim, but the rainy days, shoyfech v'shoyne, you can pour and you can keep pouring there. Ve'enoy nimna, and there's no restriction from pouring water into the chotzer, even if it's not 16 square amis. Maitam asks the Gemara. Omar Rava. Rava explains as follows, that Odom roitzash yivlu maim bimkoimum. In the rainy days, a person has no interest to that the water should leave the chotzer. On a summer day, having too much water in the chotzer is going to make the chotzer muddy. He won't be able to use it, and therefore, unless it's 16 square amis, then we assume that he wants the water out of the chotzer, and since his intentions is that the water is going to flow from the chotzer, which is a Rishus HaYochid, into a Rishus HaRabim, then the Chachamim said you shouldn't do that. But on the rainy days, where a person has no such interest to that the water should leave the chotzer, because it's raining anyway, it's muddy and murky anyway, and therefore, since he's got no intentions or no preference that the water should leave the chotzer, then you're allowed to pour the water into the chotzer. Omar le Abaya, Abaya is now asking Rava, how can you, Rava, say that since in the winter, where a person, as far as he's concerned, let the water just stay in the chotzer, it'll absorb in its own time, and he's got no interest in the water being out in the Rishus HaRabim, and no intentions of it going out into the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it's muta. Omar le Abaya vare sheivchin. Take the opinion of the Chachomim in the Mishnah. The Chachomim hold that if you have a drainage pipe, even if it's 100 amas long, it's clear that the water is going to be absorbed in that drainage pipe. It's not going to get to the Rishus HaRabim. And nonetheless, Uktoni, the Mishnah said, according to the Chachomim, lo yishbeich, you're not allowed to pour there. So you see clearly that the Chachomim in the Mishnah hold that even though you know that the water is not going to go to the Rishus HaRabim, nonetheless, it's asa. Why in the case of chotzer, in the rainy days, are you allowed to pour water, but in the summer days, where you've got a 100 amma long pipe, you're not allowed to pour into that pipe, according to the Chachomim? Omerli, so Rava answered Tabai, he says, I'll explain it to you. Hosam, in the case of the chotzer on the rainy days, lemay neichishlo, what are you concerned about? Imishum kilkul chatzeri? Are you worried that because his chotzer is going to get ruined, is going to get muddy and unusable, therefore we assume that he wants the water to leave the chotzer? It's true there's loads of water there, and there's more water than in the summer he would want to be there, but it's the rainy days. In the rainy days, he's got no use for the chotzer anyway. Are you going to say that people who see this, they're going to say that, look, there's water flowing out in great quantities from this person's chotzer? It's talking about the rainy days. And this person is going to think that even in the summer you can pour out so much water, or you can pour so much water in the chotzer and it's okay. Or he's going to think that we don't care about water going into the Rishus HaRabim, and by mistake he's going to say you can pour water directly from the chotzer into the Rishus HaRabim, which is seriously asa. People will make that mistake. Says the Gemara, no. Says Rava, that we're not worried about that. Stam tzinoiris mekalchenheim. Everybody knows that in the winter there's so much rain, and even after the rain has stopped, the water continues pouring out, and everybody knows that it's only pouring out because it's winter, not because this person is pouring water into his chotzer. So there's no room for any mistakes. Then there's no reason that in the chotzer, in the rainy days, that we shouldn't let him pour the water. However, in the case of the pipe in the summer, where we saw in the Mishnah the Chachomim say that even though he's got no intentions of it going out into the Rishus HaRabim, because he knows it's going to be absorbed in this pipe before he gets to the Rishus HaRabim, over there the Chachomim say that people might see, if the people see that there's water being poured onto this pipe, people may end up making this mistake and thinking that you're allowed to pour water straight out into the Rishus HaRabim, or you're allowed to pour any amounts of water in the chotzer. People will make a mistake, and therefore in that case the Chachomim were more machmir. So till now we explained Rava's understanding of this brisa, that the Mishnah that says you can only pour water into a chotzer if it's got 16 square amos in the absence of an ukah is in the summer days. In the rainy days, there's no restriction. Omer of Nachman. Rav Nachman says it a bit differently. He's got a different explanation to this brisa. B'moyis ha'gashomim, in the rainy days, Ukah marzik sasayim, if the ukah can contain two saw, which is the amount of water typically a person would use in a day, noisim lo sasayim, you're allowed to pour sasayim into the chotzer. Marzik saw, however, if the ukah only contains one saw, noisim lo saw, then you can pour in a saw. If the ukah is less than sasayim, you're not allowed to pour into the chotzer more than can fit in the ukah, even in the rainy days. So if the ukah only contains a saw, you're not allowed to pour more than a saw. In the summer days, there's even more restrictions. Marzik sosayim, if this ukah can contain sosayim, noisim lo sosayim, you're allowed to pour sosayim in the chotzer. So, but if this ukah can only contain a single saw, and cannot contain sosayim, the amount that a person will typically want to pour out in a day, ein noisim lo kol ikah, you're not allowed to pour anything into the chotzer. That means in the summer days, so when the Braisa says, b'medvorim amurim b'moisa chamo, that means as follows: when the Mishnah says that you need an ukah of sosayim and less than a sosayim, if there's no ukah in a type of chotzer that needs an ukah, it's less than 16 square amos, and the ukah does not contain sosayim, then you're not allowed to pour anything. That's only in the summer days. Avol b'moys hagashomim, in the rainy days, shoyfich v'shoyne v'ino nimna, then, okay, the Rishonim here discuss how to understand these words according to Rav Nachman, shoyfich v'shoyne, Rashi, Tosfos discuss that, but according to Rav Nachman, in the rainy days, you're allowed to put as much as fits in the ukah, even if the ukah is less than two saw, you're allowed to pour water there, as much water as can fit into the ukah. Asks the Gemara, "B'moisa chamo nami marzik sa nesiv leisa." The Gemara says, "I don't understand. According to your Rav Nachman, if you're allowed to pour as much water as can fit into the ukah, then why don't you say in the summer have an ukah of a saw and pour just one saw of water?" Says the Gemara, "Gzeira dil ma'asi litein lasosaim." Maybe since the amount of water that typically you would use in a day is two saw, if the ukah only contains a saw, you may pour two saw, and since you know it's going to overflow out into the chotzer, it's as if you're pouring it with the intentions of it going out into the Rishus HaRabim, you're not allowed to do that. Yehoche b'moisag shami nami ligzer, asks the Gemara. If so, even in the winter, if you have an ukah of a saw, it's true that you're only allowed to pour a saw, but we allow you to pour a saw, and we're not worried that you're going to pour two saw. Why is that different than in the summer? Answers the Gemara, Hosam mai nechashle. Again, because we're talking about the winter, it's true that we don't let you pour freely like Rava said. But what are you really concerned about? Like Rava said before, there's nothing really to be concerned about. And therefore we said, you have space for an ukah, pour an ukah. Don't pour more, but if you did pour more, then it's not terrible. However, in the summertime, no. Since if you pour too much and the water is going to flow out of the chotzer, if it flows out of the chotzer, then there could be a problem. My hosom in the winter, my nechishlo. What are you worried about? Imishum kilkul. Are you worried that he's going to have intentions of the water flowing out of the chotzer because he doesn't want it in the chotzer because he can't use the chotzer with too much water in it? Homikalkel of a kaima, that doesn't apply in the rainy days. There's so much water anyway. Imishum gzeira shama yomru tenoira shaploni mekaleach maim. Are you worried that people will think that, look, there's water flowing freely from this person's pipe? It seems that you're allowed to always pour into the Rishus HaRabim, even not through the pipe, straight from the Chotzer, Chas V'Shalom, or that you can pour even without an ukah, and whatever the mistakes are going to be. Says, no, we're not worried about that either. Stam Tzinoris Mekalchenein. Everybody knows that in the winter the pipes are flowing, and they won't make a mistake that even in the summer you can pour water. And since in the winter there's almost nothing that can go wrong, therefore, we say that at least as much as can fit into the ukah, you're allowed to pour into the chotzer. However, in the summer, you're not allowed to. Because in the summer, in the event that you pour too much, people will say, oh, look, it's pouring water, and they're going to make a mistake and think you can pour directly into the Rishus HaRabim. Oba Abaya. Abaya says, Hilkoch afilu kur vafilu kuraim. Abaya says that according to this logic, that since in the winter there's nothing to worry about, nothing can go wrong, similar to what Rava said before, Abaya says there should be no restriction whatsoever as to the amount of water you can pour in the chotzer in the winter, even a kur or a kuraim of water, since no mistakes, nothing can go wrong with it, you can pour as much as you want. And here the Mefarshim discuss exactly what Abaya, is Abaya coming to say that he's understanding the Braisa like Rava? Is Abaya explaining Rav Nachman? But this is the simple reading of the Gemara, as with Rashi. Continues the Gemara. V'chein shtei diutois zu keneged zu. We said if you have an upper story and you have two apartments in an upper story that are both sharing the same chotzer. So what do we see in the Mishnah? We saw in the Mishnah that miktsasan osu uka miktsasan le osu uka. If only part of the owners of the upper stories made an uka and part didn't, then those that made the uka can pour water into the chotzer. Those that didn't make an uka, they cannot pour water into the chotzer. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, afilu irvoi. Even though they all made an Eruv together. And this halacha applies that if you have a share, if you made an uka, you can pour water there. If you didn't make an uka, you cannot pour water there. Omar Baya, or Omar Le'a Baya, Baya said to Rav, I don't understand. My Tama, why are we only allowing the people who made an uka pour water there? Ilema mishum nefisha maya. Are you going to say that the problem is that if you let everybody pour water, there's going to be more water than there's space in the uka to contain? Votanya, but did we not see explicitly in a brisa, achas li uka, v'achas li gistera, brecha v'areva. It doesn't matter if you have an uka, which is this hole to contain the water, or gistera, or you've prepared a broken type of an earthenware vessel to collect the water, or a brecha, type of a pond, a type of a pool, or areva, or a small boat. It doesn't matter. Afal pishan ismalu maim erev Shabbos, even though they are totally full from before Shabbos, sheifchen etoichon mayin b'Shabbos. You're allowed to pour water into these receptacles or into these things on Shabbos, even though you know it's going to overflow. So here too, everybody's joined the Eruv, so there's no problem of getting the water to flow from the upper layer, from the Roshus Hayochid, into this chotzer. So what are you worried about? Why are you not allowing the people who didn't make an uka to pour the water? So what if the uka is going to overflow? It doesn't matter. Eloi itma hochi itma. What Rav actually said was as follows. He didn't say Afal Pisha Irvu. What he said was, Omar Rav, Loi Shonu Elo Sheloi Irvu. The restrictions that we mentioned in the Mishnah are only if they didn't make an Eruv. Aval Irvoi Mutorim. If everybody joined an Eruv, then everybody is allowed to pour their water down, even if they didn't make an Uka for each person. But if there's no Eruv, then only the people who have an Uka are allowed to pour the water down, and the people who don't have an uka are not allowed to pour water down. Asks the Gemara, "V'chiloi irvu, ma'itam eloi." I don't understand. If they didn't make an eruv, why are you not allowing the people who didn't make an uka to pour the water down? Why do you need an eruv here? You're not taking the water into the chotzer. You're just pouring it onto the balcony, and the balcony is just going to flow into the chotzer. And what's the issue with that? Omar of Ashi, Gezeira Dilma Osu Lafuke Mono Debatim Lahosom. We're afraid that you're going to take the vessels with water and take it into the chotzer. And if you don't have an Eruv, then you're not allowed to take anything from the Rosh Hashayochid into a shared chotzer. And then the big question here is that if so, if we're worried that people are going to take the vessels and put it straight into the take it to the chotzer, then even the people who did make an uka, we should have the same concern, because if anybody didn't join the Eruv, then anybody cannot use the chotzer. So for that, the Rishonim here explain that in the event, the person who made the uka probably made the uka just close to his balcony. He'll pour the water onto his balcony, it will pour straight into the uka, and he'll have no reason to go down into the chotzer with his kelim. However, somebody who didn't join the uka, then typically his Yerushus HaYochid, his balcony, is going to be further away from the uka. And he's not going to want to make the whole chotzer muddy. He's going to want to make sure that his water goes right into the uka. So only the person who didn't have his own uka near his balcony, that type of person is at risk of going down into the chotzer and taking his water there. And that's also, we don't let him do that. However, if there is an Eruv, then everybody is allowed to pour water, even though there's not enough ukas, as we saw in the Brisa. As long as there's an uka, it doesn't matter if it overflows. And that's what Rava meant. Hadron aloch keitzad mishtatfim, b'siyata d'shmai, we finished learning the perek keitzad mishtatfim, emir tashem, we're going to do chazor on perek keitzad mishtatfim, and in the next year we're going to start perek kol gagois.